Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 21. We read the entire chapter. Our text is found in verses 15 through 18. John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the other, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying what death he should, by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is found in John 21, verse 15 through 18. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 18. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him, again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Peter saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says to office bearers, Feed my sheep. That was the charge that Jesus gave to Peter in that third appearance to his disciples. And although Peter had a particular office along with the other apostles in that day, the calling applies to every office bearer in every age. Feed my sheep. And what's so amazing, beloved, about this charge to Peter is that Jesus spoke it to Peter. To Peter, the one who had denied him. To Peter, the sinner who had fallen so deeply. And the same amazing charge is made to office bearers also today, to ministers, but also to elders and to deacons, to those who are sinners, who have, by our words and by our thoughts and by our deeds, denied Jesus Christ in one way or another. We haven't used, perhaps those same words that Peter used when he denied Jesus, but we have, by our words and thoughts and deeds, denied that we know Jesus. We have denied Him. We are sinners, like Peter. And yet the charge still comes to us. Jesus is still pleased to use us. Early in Jesus' ministry, to give some of the background for this charge that's given to Peter, Jesus had called Peter to be one of His disciples. And there was no question that Peter played an important part in the ministry of the gospel. In Jesus' ministry, Peter played an important part. Wasn't it Peter who, when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" they gave a number of answers, and then Jesus says, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter was the one who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was the spokesman for the rest of the disciples on many occasions. Peter stood out. But Peter also was a sinner. And that came out on a number of occasions too, when Jesus had to rebuke Peter because Peter was saying, "This shall never be to thee. You will not go to the cross." And Jesus says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because at that moment, he was a tool in Satan's hand. That can happen. He was a sinner. And his sinfulness became especially plain when he denied Jesus the night that Jesus was tried by the Jews. That morning when he was crucified, Peter denied Jesus. But graciously, Jesus restores Peter. Jesus restores Peter to his office. He says, "Peter," speaking directly to him, "do you love me?" And then he charges him to take up his office again, "feed my sheep." The importance of that calling, beloved, cannot be overestimated because it concerns the flock which has been purchased with the very blood of Jesus Christ. And if an office bearer is going to be faithful in his office, he must have a particular attitude towards Jesus Christ, reflected in the question, "Do you love me?" And after Jesus gives that charge to Peter, he gives one more word. He says, "Follow me. Follow me." As we consider this text this morning, my prayer is that God will use that to encourage the minister, but all the office bearers in our office, in our love for Christ, and in our feeding of the sheep. Let's consider the text under that theme, "Feed my sheep." Let's note, in the first place, the necessary attitude. Secondly, the important calling, and then the required submission, that phrase, "follow me." Feed my sheep, the necessary attitude, the important calling, the required submission. As I worked on this sermon, beloved, I kept going back and forth as to whether I should treat the important calling first and then the required attitude, the necessary attitude, or do it the other way around, treat the attitude first and then the calling. And logically, you would think, We should treat the calling and then the attitude necessary to carry out that calling. That would be the logical progression. And yet I finally decided on the other order, to treat the necessary attitude first, because that's where Jesus starts. Jesus starts with that necessary attitude. First, he says to Peter, "Do you love me?" Then he asks the question, "Feed my sheep." First he asks the question, then he gives the charge. He doesn't say, "Peter, feed my sheep, and by the way, you also better love me. You also need to love me if you are going to do that." Jesus does it the other way around. "Do you love me?" And then he says, "Feed my sheep." And that's the order that we'll take this morning as well. Before Jesus charges Peter to feed the sheep, Peter must know. Jesus knew all things. He didn't have to find out for himself. But Peter must know that he had the necessary attitude. And if he did not have this attitude, then Peter would not be qualified for his office. He would disqualify himself from office if he did not have this attitude. Without this attitude, he would show himself unfit for the service in Christ's kingdom. What attitude was absolutely necessary for Peter? And what attitude is absolutely necessary for every office bearer in the church? Jesus reveals that in his questioning of Peter, before he reinstates Peter 3 times, Peter had denied Jesus. 3 times Peter had denied essentially that he loved Jesus. That was implied by Peter's words. When Peter said, remember the words, "I don't know what you are talking about. I don't know the man." And then with cursing and swearing the 3rd time, "I don't know the man." That implies, if you say, "I don't even know the man," that implies, "I don't love him." Certainly, if you don't know him, then you don't love him either. If I say, "I don't know Jesus," when I'm in the workplace, somebody says, "Are you a Christian?" And we deny it. And I say, "I don't even know him. I don't know what you're talking about." What we're saying is, I don't love him. That was implied by Peter's fall. Peter had fallen deeply. And now, 3 times Peter had denied Jesus, and now Jesus 3 times addresses Peter and asks Peter to confirm his love. Specifically, he addresses Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Lovest thou me? Jesus doesn't say to Simon, as he's about to charge him to feed the sheep, Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, do you love the sheep?" He doesn't say that, although that is very important. Love for the flock is absolutely necessary. A hireling who doesn't care at all about the sheep, who doesn't care about them, he will leave them when the wolf comes. He runs away to avoid conflict. He will not deal with the conflict. And the result is that the sheep are torn and scattered. Someone who doesn't care for the sheep will not minister to them when the going gets difficult. Love for the flock is necessary, but Jesus doesn't ask Peter, "Do you love my sheep?" More important than love for the flock is love for Christ. More important then love for the flock is love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Why was that so critical for Peter? And why is that so critical for office bearers today? Because, beloved, there may be times when love for the flock is not enough to motivate us. An office bearer might think, what has this or that particular sheep done for me? Indeed, an office bearer might think, this sheep who is always wandering, who is always causing trouble, this sheep doesn't deserve any ministering. This sheep doesn't deserve to be fed. An office bearer, looking at the sheep, may not want to feed the sheep. Or an office bearer with his eyes too much on the flock says the flock wants this or that. But the question is not, do you have your eyes on the flock, but do you love me? When the going gets difficult for an office bearer, when an office bearer has to deal with a difficult sheep or has to deal with a difficult circumstance, an office bearer may want to just forget it. He may say, what's the use? And then comes the question that Jesus Christ asks, do you love me? Will you do it for my sake? Do you love me? Will you sacrifice and serve for my sake? Or will you leave? Will you lead the flock for my sake? We can apply, of course, that same reasoning on a personal level. This applies to office bearers. This applies to Peter in particular. It applies to all the office bearers, but it applies to every believer. In the office of all believer, somebody said, what has this or that brother or sister done for me? They have made my life miserable. Why should I love them? Why should I care for them? And then comes the question from Jesus Christ, do you love me? Do you love me? Even if you will not love your neighbor for something in themselves, even if you don't see anything in themselves to love them, will you love them nevertheless for my sake? Do you love me? The absolute prerequisite for serving in Christ's kingdom is love for Christ. Love for Christ. And yet, and every office bearer recognizes that, yet, we fall so far short. Peter needed to recognize that about himself. 3 times in his pride, Peter had denied Jesus. He was a sinner and he fell far short. And we find other examples later where Peter was rebuked by the Apostle Paul. He fell far short. And office bearers today need to realize and recognize that also about ourselves. We fall far short. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And we fall far short. 3 times, Jesus asked the question to Peter in slightly different ways. And each time he humbles Peter a bit more. The first time, when Jesus asks the question, notice how Jesus addresses Peter. He says, "Simon, son of Jonas." That wasn't how Jesus had referred to Peter in the past. Jesus does not call him Peter, as he had in the past. When Peter had made that great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus says, "Thou art Peter." And Peter means a rock. "Thou art Peter." But instead, Jesus addresses Peter as Simon, his old name, Simon. And then to distinguish him from the other Simon, "Simon, son of Jonas." All by itself, that would have begun to humble Peter. "He's calling me Simon." But then he goes on, "Lovest thou me?" Peter says, Jesus says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, he doesn't use Peter. "Lovest thou me more than these other disciples?" Why did Jesus ask that? Because before, Peter had denied Jesus. And before that denial, after being warned by Jesus, Peter insisted, "Though all men shall be offended, yet will I never be offended," as if to say, "Though all men should fail to love thee, I will never fail to love thee. I will never fail to love thee." That's what Peter was implying. "I will always love thee." Peter needed to see that his love was not so spectacular. It wasn't. Office bearers need to see that our love is not so spectacular. "Though all men should be offended, though all men should fail to love thee, yet I will love thee." And Peter answers Jesus, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." But he does not say, Jesus asked the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Peter does not say, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee more than these. Peter does not say that. He doesn't make that comparison anymore because he has been humbled. That's a danger for anyone, any believer. It's a danger for office bearers to compare ourselves to others and say, I love thee more than these. Peter comes to realize he may not make that comparison. In fact, Peter doesn't even use the word, the same word for love that Jesus had used. That doesn't come out in our English translation. But Peter doesn't even use the same word for love that Jesus had asked him about. Jesus asked Peter about a love, a purposeful, wholehearted devotion, that kind of love. Agapao, to use the Greek term. But Peter doesn't answer with that term. Peter answers with a more subjective word. We could translate Peter's response this way. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I have affection for thee. Phileo is the term. Totally different terms. And Peter refuses to use the same word. He refuses to use the stronger word that Jesus had used. And then he entrusts himself to Jesus Christ. He doesn't trust his own judgment. He refuses to trust his own judgment. He says to Jesus, Thou knowest that I have affection for thee. Peter was humbled, but not completely. And so Jesus asked him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now Jesus has dropped the comparison. He doesn't say anymore. He doesn't ask anymore. More than these? He doesn't say that. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And yet Jesus still uses that stronger word for love, as if to say, all right, Peter, you have come to see that your love is not stronger than your fellow disciples. But do you truly love me? Do you love me with that wholehearted, purposeful, love? Do you love me with that kind of love and devotion? And Peter answers again, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I have affection. Thou knowest that I love thee. He uses the same weak word. Thou knowest that I have affection for thee. And he doesn't dare go beyond that. And then a third time, Jesus asked, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And now Jesus changes that word. And again, that doesn't come out in our translation. Now Jesus changes that word to the one Peter had been using. Simon, son of Jonas, do you have affection for me? Do you even have that kind of love for me? And this time Simon was grieved because he had asked using that word, do you have affection for me? Jesus seems even to question that affection. And again, all Peter can do is appeal to Jesus' knowledge. Thou knowest, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest my heart better than I know my heart myself. Thou knowest that I have affection. Thou knowest that I love thee. You see, Peter must come to realize, beloved, that he has nothing in himself that sets him apart from the other disciples. He has nothing in himself that sets him apart from the rest of the flock. And so must the office bearers. We must recognize we have nothing in ourselves that sets us apart from the rest of the flock or from other members of the consistory. We have all denied Jesus in one way or another. Every single one of us, members in consistory and members of the church, we are sinners in need of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And when we know that, beloved, when we know that, that ought to affect the way we interact with one another, and that ought to affect the way that we interact with the flock. Because if we see ourselves as fellow sinners, then we will not come with our fingers pointing down at the flock, but then we will go together with the flock, not pushing them, but leading them to the cross. Seeking forgiveness in the blood of the cross and seeking God's grace in the power of the cross, leading the flock as fellow sinners. That doesn't, of course, apply only to office bearers. It applies to all of us, because all of us by nature think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We do. We do. In pride, we look down on those who have stumbled. We do it as parents with our children. How could you do that? Weren't you thinking? And we do it with our brothers and sisters. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Like Peter, as we looked at recently, like Peter, we say, we would never do that. But if we are to be serviceable in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we must serve first in love for Christ. That must be first, our love for Christ. And then in humility before others. Humility. Where is that attitude, where does that love and where can that humility come from? How can office bearers have that deep, purposeful love for Christ? How can they have humility toward their brothers and sisters in the congregation? How can any of us, not just office bearers, how can any of us have that love in our hearts? How can we be humbled in the presence of others that we go to them as fellow sinners in need of the cross? Think of Peter's fall. When Peter denied Jesus three times, God worked in his heart that Peter went out and wept bitterly. But after Peter fell, that very same morning that Peter fell, that that Peter denied Jesus, that very same morning, Jesus paid for Peter's horrible sin and all of Peter's sins and all the sins of all the sheep. Jesus paid for those sins on the cross. The Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep and paid for every single one of our sins. Every single one of them. And his death cannot be in vain. If Jesus paid the price, if the Good Shepherd paid the price for his sheep, that price is not going to be in vain. And now that Good Shepherd who died, who rose again, sits enthroned in heaven above, and he is still the Good Shepherd. He still looks down upon the flock. He still looks upon us. He still continues his goodness towards us, though we still sin. How can we love Christ and be humble towards our fellow sheep? Only because Christ loved us first. Only because he loved us first and humbled himself to the death of the cross. Only because of the Good Shepherd. Only because he continues his love towards us. As Peter saw the absolute necessity of love for Christ, and when he saw himself as no better than the other disciples, then Jesus charged him with a most important calling. Then Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Peter, this is how you show your thankfulness for your deliverance. Like a sheep, you wandered. You wandered from me grievously. You did. You denied me before men. You deserved. Peter deserved to be denied by Jesus. That's what he deserved in himself. But Jesus brought him back into the fold. And so three times Jesus charges Peter, "Feed my sheep." This is your calling, Peter. This is the one thing that I call you to do. Do not get sidetracked from this calling. Office bearers must see this as our primary calling. The sheep must come first. That's not saying ignore your families and leave them and forget them, because in fact your families are numbered among the sheep. But feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That must be the most important consideration of office bearers, of the minister, of elders and deacons too. And when Jesus charged Peter, "Feed my sheep," Peter didn't have to ask, "What sheep are you talking about? Who are the sheep?" Peter knew who the lambs and the sheep were. He knew that they were the flock belonging to the Good Shepherd. "Peter, feed my lambs." That's the first charge Jesus gives to Peter. "Feed my lambs." And then, "Feed my sheep." Feed the sheep that have been given to me by my Father. Feed the sheep who have been elected from before the foundation of the world. Feed the sheep who have been purchased with my precious blood. feed the sheep who have been brought into the fold by the work of the Spirit. Feed the sheep. Seek the sheep who are still wandering. In his first charge, Jesus says, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Feed those who are weak and immature among the flock. Give them the milk of the word so that they grow in knowledge and understanding. Feed my lambs. And then in the second charge, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Literally this time, shepherd. He uses a slightly different word. He says, shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. More than just feeding them, shepherd them. Everything that is involved in caring for the sheep, lead them into green pastures, warn them about the dangers that surround them, go searching for them when they wander, keep the wolves from attacking them. Feed, shepherd my sheep. In short, Jesus charges Peter and Jesus charges all office bearers, look after the spiritual welfare of my precious flock. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all. Shepherd my sheep. No matter what the cost. That's implied in Jesus' last words to Peter. No matter what the cost. Verse 18. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Peter, when he was young, used to dress himself and go wherever he pleased. Jesus says that's going to change. Verse 19 tells us, this he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. By what death Peter would glorify God in connection with feeding the sheep. When Peter was old, he would have to raise up his arms and be tied up and be carried to a place where he didn't want to go, to the place of his execution. When Peter denied Jesus the first time, while Jesus was being tried, Peter was afraid of himself being caught up in that trial. They were saying, you were one of them. You were with him. Peter was afraid of being caught up in a trial, in that trial. Now Jesus says, when you are old, you will be taken to a place where you don't want to go. You will be tied up. Signifying that Peter himself would be executed. Tradition has it, Scripture doesn't say it, but tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down. Jesus tells Peter that feeding the sheep, this was his calling, feeding the sheep would come at a heavy cost. The very thing that Peter feared. Many an office bearer has given up much for the kingdom. To be sure, many have given their time. They have given up time that they could have spent with their families in order to serve in the church. And few people recognize how much time office bearers can give. But more than that, some have endured hardship. Some have endured hardship for the sake of the kingdom. Indeed, some have given their very lives. Stephen was stoned. Think of Jeremiah the prophet. Because he brought the word of God, think of the suffering that he had to go through. Think of the perils. And the apostle lists all these different perils that he had endured. Why did he do that? Why did he subject himself to that? Stoned, whipped. Why did the apostle Paul subject himself to that? And office bearers might think to themselves at times, why do I subject myself to that? And then the question comes back again, do you love me? Do you love me? And if this is what I am calling you to do, if you love me, then you will do it. Even if it means you will be tied up and carried where you don't want to go. Even if it means you will be killed. The Apostle Paul himself also killed for the sake of the gospel. Many a child of God in the office of all believer has given up much for the kingdom too. But the question is the same. When God calls us to make some great sacrifice, can we say, yes, I know He is calling, but that's too much. That's asking too much. I will not do that. And then the question comes again. Do you love me? Christ has done so much for us. He gave His life. Not only His physical life, He suffered the torments of hell for us. And is anything too much to ask? After all that He has done, is anything too much to ask? If Jesus Christ has given His life for us, do you love me? That's the question. That's the question for office bearers, but that's the question for all believers. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, what frail creatures of the dust we are. And yet Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son to die for us. And how shall we not, in light of all Thy mercies, give ourselves to Thee? Grant to us that we may love Thee. Work it in our hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.